That Peter will preach on is Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. It's on page 955 in the Bibles that are in the pews if you'd like to follow. It'd be good to have the Bible passage open and to keep it open as Peter speaks about it, preaches from it this morning. So let us hear the word of God. The NIV has put the heading on this passage, "The Birth of Jesus Christ." This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, it's beautiful to be here on such a wonderful Sunday, at such a wonderful time of year, with such a beautiful message to preach. So thank you for your warm welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. It's lovely to be back with you. Before we look at these few verses from Matthew chapter 1, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for speaking into the darkness of our world and our lives, for shining light in the darkness, bringing new life in a dying world. We pray that this morning, by the power of your Spirit, we will be vitalized, enlivened by your Spirit, to love and serve you through following Jesus. Amen. I like scaring babies. That's a dreadfully unexpected thing, isn't it? Now, I don't get thrills by stealing their lollies. And I don't shout at them in an angry voice. What I mean is that I enjoy playing peekaboo. Babies are just so cute. They know exactly what is going to happen. You'll open your hands, reveal your face, and say peekaboo. And yet when you do that, they chuckle and they gurgle and they giggle. Somehow, with a baby, the expected is always unexpected, and it gives them a little fright. Now, when my children, our four adult children, are all grown up now and so forth, but when they were little, when they were infants, they were the same. I would walk down the hallway of the house ahead of them, and then I would slip around the corner, and they knew exactly what was about to happen. I would jump out in front of them and say, "Boo!" But when I did that, the expected was unexpected, and they would jump in the air even though they knew what I was about to do. That is like Christmas. Here it is again, it's the end of another year. We all know what's coming. The baby Jesus, Joseph and Mary, angels, a few wise men. But this morning, as we read Matthew chapter 1, and as we continue to think about that, we'll think about who that baby is. God expected, but unexpectedly, jumping out in front of us into history. God leaping out in front of our world and saying, boo. My first point this morning, Mary was expecting, but it was so unexpected. Verses 18 and 19, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What an unexpected thing. What a surprise for Joseph. Mary, pregnant. This is terrible. I thought she was a decent woman. What am I to do? In those days, engagements lasted a year, and engagements were binding. Notice in verse 18, Joseph is already called a husband. Now, in our culture, it's almost a cliche in movies, isn't it? The hero standing at the front of the church, he's about to be married, but he doesn't know what to do. Does he go ahead and marry this girl that he proposed to a long time ago, or does he marry the girl he really loves, dump this one and marry the other? Now, that could never have happened for a Jew. They made their final decision when they got engaged. Engagement was binding, just like marriage. And you could only get out of an engagement by dying or getting a divorce. And that's why this pregnancy was so unexpected. And it explains what Joseph decided to do. I guess I'll have to divorce Mary. It wouldn't be right to marry her now. She's been unfaithful, which is not what I expected. Having someone else's baby. Adultery? I know what's the godly thing to do. I will divorce her quietly, a minimum of fuss. Then she'll be free to marry the baby's father. That would be the kind thing. That would be the helpful thing to do. But the next thing is even more unexpected. A nation expecting, which is unexpected. That night, Joseph is sleeping, lying on his bed, and he's a carpenter. So he's probably dreaming of a tricky roof that he's building. But what comes next is more of a nightmare than a dream. Up out of the truss that he's building in his sleep pops an angel's head. Joseph, descendant of King David, do not be frightened to marry Mary. The baby growing inside of her comes from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. And when the little one is born, name him Jesus. He will rescue his people from their sins. Whoa! Joseph wakes up. His head is spinning. God's promised Messiah, the Christ, a saviour from sins? I sure have some thinking to do. We Jews, we've been waiting for so long for the Messiah. In my lifetime? In my city? In my fiancé? That's something I never expected. And the baby, who will be a saviour from sin, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This time, all in a rush, three things that were never expected. First, the most shocking, a child conceived by the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the Spirit is God's agent. He is creator. The Spirit is the one who gives life, and he takes life away. One day, say the prophets, the Spirit will bring Messiah, the Christ. Perhaps they should have expected that one day the Spirit would conceive this child. But the idea is too shocking. God's Spirit conceive a child without a human father involved. That is so unexpected, frightening. It makes God the Spirit the Father. Divine being merged with human being. God taking flesh. And from Joseph's perspective, that's happened inside my wife. How will we cope? Will we survive it? Mary's baby, fathered by God himself. This is the most awesome thing that's ever happened. The most scary thing. This is the most horrible thing that's ever happened in my life. And yet Matthew tells us, verses 22 and 23, when Jesus is born, it's what we should have expected. God does what he said he'd do hundreds of years earlier. God had given a warning. A virgin will be expecting, and she will have a baby boy. And they will call the boy Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever met one of the great ones? You know, in the flesh, the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition, the State Premier, I don't know, State Opposition Leader, Captain of the Australian Cricket Team, someone like that, one of the great ones. I've had that experience twice in my life, and both times it was expected. But nevertheless, I was nervous, I was self-conscious, I was tongue-tied. I didn't know where to put my hands. Should I fold my arms? Oh no, that's too aggressive. Should I put them in my pockets? Oh, that's too impolite. Should I put them behind my back? Oh, that doesn't look relaxed. Or at my sides? Oh, it looks like I'm standing at attention. And then when I spoke, I said really goofy things, even goofier than normal. Even though I knew I would meet them, and I'd rehearsed my lines, I'd done my best to be prepared. It is so awesome to be with one in the presence of one of the great ones that you go to pieces, you get rattled, and no amount of preparation seems to help. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Now, that's how it was for Joseph, and it explains, I think, a lot about the first Christmas. God, who is the greatest one there is, steps into our world. Now, there were heaps of hints from the prophets. Yet when he arrived, we weren't prepared. The inn was full. The baby was laid in a manger. Everyone was rattled. The whole creation was in awe of what was happening. That little bitty baby, expected and yet unexpected, which is why the innkeeper and co. couldn't get themselves organised. They made such a mess of it. And even Joseph and Mary, who had received telegrams from angels, turn up at Bethlehem at the dumbest moment. Nowhere to stay. No relatives expecting them. Totally unprepared. But there is a third unexpected thing about this baby. The Jews should have been expecting this. But apart from Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, at some later point in the story, no one seemed to be prepared. And that is that this baby, the Messiah, had come to save people from sins. Now, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, but not the one who came. They were looking for a mighty warrior or a political figure. But the angel tells Joseph, give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sins. Not military strategy, not political acumen. This Messiah has come to die on a cross. This baby who is God with us has been born to be a sacrificial lamb. I've often wondered, in the light of the Emmanuel prophecy, why is it the baby is called Jesus? Why not call him Emmanuel? It actually says in the prophecy, call him Emmanuel. Well, the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. The Lord rescues. And the angel says that this baby will rescue his people from sin. Sin, as you know, separates us from God. And so this baby who is God with us bridges the gap. He unexpectedly brings God to us. And then through his death on a cross, he makes good that reconnection, bringing us into God's presence. Through life and death, this baby is truly God with us. For Joseph, there were so many shocks. Joseph and the Jews had so many unexpected things. Well, what will Joseph do? He's shaken, he's frightened, he's confused. But nevertheless, he believes the angel. He obeys the angel. He does what is expected of him. He goes ahead with the wedding. He takes Mary home. Though she carries someone else's baby, he accepts her as his wife. He doesn't have sex with her until after the baby's born. And when the little one is born, trembling, awestruck, as he holds the little baby, Joseph names him Jesus. I have two concrete things to suggest to you this morning as applications from this. Two things about this little bundle of joy, the expected being unexpected. Two things for you to do this Christmas. First of all, the wonder of Christmas. After hundreds of years of the prophets, the expected so unexpected. When Jesus was born, God was leaping out into the hallway of history. The living God leaping into our world, leaping out in front of us and saying, boo. And yet, you and I can be so bored with Christmas. 2,000 years of Christmas. 2,000 years of the same old thing. The baby, the manger, the angels, the shepherds. 2,000 years to get bored, tired, even cynical. 2,000 years for our nerves to recover from the shock of it. To forget just how startling it all is. 2,000 years to lose touch with the fact the expected was so unexpected. And so this morning I want to ask you to ponder. Think hard about what Christmas means. Be terrified that God has leapt into the world in Jesus. Be scared out of your wits at the Holy God's arrival. What do you think God will do with anyone who is not terrified, not stunned? Anyone who yawns or switches off or is not impressed at all by the coming of the living God? What do you think God will do with anyone who is not shaken to their core? So ponder just the enormity of it is of God entering our world. And secondly, think about how wonderfully unexpected is the kindness of God at Christmas. the gracious love of God the Son, that this baby arrived to die on a cross. He arrived to save you and I from our sins. Jesus did not come merely as the reason for the season, you know, an excuse for a party. He came to rescue us. We have so many good expectations at Christmas, don't we? The good things, the fun and the family, the carols, the laughter as children open their presents, but also the not so good things, the busy shops, the traffic jams in parking lots, perhaps the loneliness of a Christmas lunch eaten in an empty house. But what is most unexpected at Christmas, even for Christians, is the reason for Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, that God stepped into our world to save us from sin, that he came to die for us, to rescue us from the awful mess we're in. And so be expecting this. Be prepared this Christmas not to get sidetracked, not to be ruled by what everyone else expects, but to read your Bibles and ponder. Spend time in prayer. Praise God for Jesus. Think about God saving you in Jesus. Think about the love of God. And then do the thing that is so unexpected in this world. Kneel before God. In prayer, ask God, each one of us here, ask God for the forgiveness that he offers in Jesus. Reach out and take hold of the forgiveness that he offers at Christmas. And God will forgive your sins. At Christmas, we remember the baby Jesus. And we know what we're expecting. The angels, the hay in a manger, a few wise men. The same old Christmas. Boring? No. This Christmas, ponder baby Jesus. It is actually we who should gurgle and laugh and giggle because the expected is so unexpected. God the Son has stepped into history. God has opened his hands. He has revealed himself in all his life-shaking, loving glory. In this case, our God, that little baby, unexpectedly says, peekaboo. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Jesus and the marvel of your arrival on earth, the incarnation of the Son of God as Jesus, that little baby at Christmas. And even today, Jesus is with us. Father God, we pray that this Christmas we will marvel, that we will be amazed at the unlikeliness of this, of your love for us to step into a broken world. But also that we would kneel before you and say thank you for Jesus. Please forgive us through Jesus. Amen.